With Thatcher 806 on this Tuesday, it's August 24th. 54 degrees currently here in Old Town Park City. We've got 52 degrees in the Heber Valley. And on the phone with us, I've got ABC4 meteorologist Thomas Giboy. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning, Leslie, and happy Tuesday, and happy Tuesday, everybody. Today's going to be a pretty nice day across Park City. Temperatures will be climbing to around 70 degrees for this afternoon. It will be a little bit warmer than that in a few spots. A few spots might get into the middle and upper 70s, but we got a lot of sunshine to go around for today, and we got good air quality for the time being. But we're going to start to see some changes as we go from tonight into tomorrow. We're continuing with the southwest flow, and we're going to start to see a little bit more patchy smoke work its way in for tonight into tomorrow. So that could lead to some air quality issues. And we do have a bigger system coming in from the northwest that'll be arriving Wednesday night into Thursday, and that's going to turn our winds more from the southwest out of the west, and that might just transport more wildfire smoke into our area. So that could be something that we'll be watching close for by the end of the week. As for our Wednesday, again, areas of patchy smoke, temperatures will continue to remain in the 70s for highs, and we're really not going to see too many changes with our temperatures as we go throughout the rest of the week. But into Thursday, could maybe add a few showers to the mix, especially for those higher terrain areas. So that is something that we'll be watching for in Park City, about a 20% chance high temperatures remaining in the lower and middle 70s. Morning lows will continue in the lower middle 50s. Before this upcoming weekend, it's back to a lot of sunshine. We'll be watching the smoke situation, but we'll keep a good amount of sunshine Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and those lows will continue to be in the upper 40s to around 50.
Okay. Hey, Thomas, and so are you the new guy on the mornings?
That I am. Yes. Yeah, so today was my first day on air, and I will be, I'm the new morning meteorologist here, and I'm very happy to be here.
Well, congratulations. Thanks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you so much. You have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow.
KBCW News Time now, 8:08. Well, stay tuned. Coming up on the local news hour this morning, I'll be checking in with Summit County Manager Tom Fisher. We'll be taking a look at the agenda for Wednesday's County Council meeting. Later on, I'll be introducing you to the newly named Executive Director of the Park City Museum and Historical Society, Morgan Pierce. I'll be talking about his new job. Summit County Council meets in work sessions starting tomorrow at 2:50. On the phone with the preview, I have Summit County Manager Tom Fisher. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Leslie.
First up, Park City Community Foundation, a review of the Community Response Fund, how much money they dispersed, who got grants, and more. The report also notes that beyond the pandemic, some systemic problems like housing and the need for stable, well-paying jobs. Is the county interested in working with the Community Foundation on those issues?
Well, we're always, the Community Foundation is one of those groups within the community that is always working on these types of issues. And, they match well with some of the programs that we work on, and certainly matches well with overall response to the pandemic, which clearly is going to have ongoing issues.
Such as? When you look at the sales tax figures, it looks like we're doing great. That means that, the restaurants are busy, the lodges are picking back up, Main Street's busy. So, what are the ongoing issues?
Well, I think, nationally we're still hearing about housing issues related to rent and mortgages. And I don't think that's not happening in Summit County. It probably still is. And in some of these groups, like the Community Foundation, like the Mountain Mediation Center, have a lot closer tie to that and hear a lot more than the county government does. So we rely on these groups to let us know what's going on. We work closely with them when we have the means to do so to help relieve some of those problems.
Okay. And when we talk housing, this was an issue I know that I brought up last year when we interviewed the guy that kind of came up with this idea for Picasso. Are you familiar with that? It's kind of like VRBO, but it's actually selling shares in houses. And it just seems like we've got a huge proliferation of those Picasso-type homes happening. Anything the county can do about that?
Well, there's really not. The buying and selling of property on the private market is not something that we're normally in the regulation of. As we've seen in the past, the legislature has been lobbied to make it very difficult for local governments to even deal with the proliferation of nightly rental type units. This falls into that same category where it's taking housing stock out of the the market that our workforce would sometimes be available to. And it's a new phenomenon that has creeped up over the last couple of years. And is having an effect. What we would like to do is start working at the state legislative level to see what could be done about it, because it isn't meeting their goals either of keeping housing stock available for workforce.
Okay. Also on the agenda, a conservation easement for the Richens Ranch, some 850 acres bisected by Chalk Creek Road. Why is this an attractive piece of land to be saved?
Well, I mean, a lot of times the conservation easement process is driven by a landowner that's ready to work with the conservation agency. So it's partly opportunity-based, obviously. But certainly up on the Chalk Creek corridor, you know, there's opportunity to conserve land and agriculture. It's along the Chalk Creek watershed. It's a long-time held family ranch that's contiguous to other or at least near other conservation easement holdings that Summit Lands has worked on in the past. And it meets the county's goals of conserving agricultural land on the east side of the county.
Okay, so where does the money for that easement come from?
Well, it's a combination. You know, mostly it's money that is raised by the Summit Land Conservancy, either through federal or state grant or private grant sources. And sometimes there is a small amount of money that has come from the promontory property exchanges that goes into this process. I think in this case, mostly what is on the agenda is that the Land Conservancy, because of the type of money that is being used, the conservation easement needs to be held by a public agency. So that's why they're asking this to be on the agenda for today.
All right. Also, a meeting with the Eastern Summit County Water Conservancy District. So is this a water district or a wastewater district?
It is a wastewater district, and it is in its infancy. It's been around for a little while, but it's starting to get more active as we see more developments, small developments happening that are on, they're not connecting to sewer, but they're connecting to collected package sewer plants or septic systems per se. And so we're getting, you know, we have to regulate those. And we have to eventually put procedures, policies, and revenue sources and probably people around regulating these so that we know that they're working and eventually they could be hooked up to collected sewer if we get that going in the future.
All right. So the topic seems to be, do you think this district should govern wastewater systems on the east side, or should that be the job of the health department partnering with the state?
Well, I mean, it's certainly part of the question. You know, the health department isn't really set up to do that right now. The health department's part of this district. They have seats on this district. And they will always be in the business of regulating septic systems, especially in the unincorporated county, and wastewater systems. They'll be involved with those. But it's probably moving towards time where in the unincorporated county, at least, we have to have some entity involved with regulating sewer systems and collected systems as we see development coming.
All right. The 615 item was added to the agenda late. Last weekend, the county health department issued an order that masks would be required at a county elementary school if 2% of the campus population shows a 14-day COVID positivity rate. So what are you certifying with this declaration of local public health emergency and order of constraint?
Well, I mean, we're putting in place a essentially a threshold trigger with the school districts for elementary school campuses. So that includes both the students as well as faculty and staff. That if they meet that 14-day threshold, a mask a mandate goes in place, and then if they drop below it or stay below it, a mask mandate is not in place for that school. As the process goes, the health director has to start that. The county manager has the ability within 72 hours, which that comes up today, to rescind that. I am not going to do that. I'm going to leave that in place. So the next step is for the council, of course, we have done this all in conjunction with the council and the school districts, so that we at least all understand what's going on. So really probably the next time that this comes up is at the 30-day review period, where the council can either renew that, or it would, if they decided not to renew it, it would just go away. But we wanted to give the opportunity for folks to make comment. Of course, we're hearing comments on both sides of the issue, and there may even be further times coming in the future. But we wanted to make sure we got something on the agenda for folks to express their opinion.
So, do these two documents set any further restrictions on top of the order that was issued August 21st?
They do not.
Okay. The declaration set for 30 days, the order of constraint runs indefinitely?
It also runs for 30 days. It runs along with that emergency order. So if the emergency order is rescinded, the order of constraint would not be able to stay in place.
Okay. Any news after the county's inspection of the Elk Meadows apartments?
I think we're trying to be very sensitive in this issue, since we have a large number of people that live in the Elk Meadows complex. The early reports that I'm hearing just from a very high level is that significant progress was made on the issues that they were dealing with, but I have not heard the specifics yet. I think that's still being gathered. They just did those inspections last week, and they're probably still following up with the landowner or the property owner. But I expect that we'll have something for the public very soon.
All right, Tom. Anything else you'd like to add?
That's all I've got today.
Tom Fisher is Summit County Manager. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
The Park City Museum has named Morgan Pierce as its new executive director. He joins me now on the phone. Good morning, Morgan.
Hello, good morning.
So thanks for being with us. So have you started yet? I thought you were assuming your new duties mid-July.
I have started, yes.
Okay.
I have been on board since mid-July. And my time has flown.
Yeah. Well, start by just telling us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I'm about a month into my new role. My wife and my family and I decided to do something big, and we moved out here from Virginia. So I am Virginia, born and raised. So I've lived in a couple of different places around the country, but we were looking for, a new home and a perfect home. And I think the Salt Lake City and the Park City area certainly provides that and provides a lot of opportunity for us to have fun. I've worked in museums my whole career. I have always loved and been fascinated by history, public history in particular. And so a lot of the experiences that I have gained have been very specific to towns and communities and regions. So I couldn't be more enamored with Park City and with the Park City Museum and the story that it tells. It's an incredible history here in the mountains of Park City, and I'm so pleased to be here.
Yeah, well, great. We'll get back to that in just a sec, but why Park City? I mean, for the snow, are you guys snow sport enthusiasts, or just to get out of the humidity?
Oh, there is no humidity out here. That's right. We love the snow. We love summer activities also. So everything about the outdoors called us to drive 2,000 miles west. But our history here in Park City, I'm very in tune with local Main Street dynamics, and the museum couldn't be in a more perfect location on Main Street. but also the mining history, the frontier life, the you know, the expansion westward, or in Park City's case, eastward from Salt Lake City, have all been, you know, fascinations of mine. And so, you know, here I am in Park City.
Yeah. Why do you think you make a good match for the Park City Museum in particular?
I've worked in several different museums, all of various sizes, and I think that, you know, the size of the Park City Museum and, you know, our team that we have, that gets everything that we do done, couldn't be a more perfect blend of different people, different backgrounds. And so I'm really excited about leading this team and being a part of, you know, a lot of the fun events and activities that we're doing, but also, you know, tourism has been pretty incredible this summer, in a post-COVID, I suppose I can't say post-COVID world just yet, but folks have been coming to Park City, and the museum has, you know, seen, you know, an incredible increase in tourists, not just from last year, but 2019. And so a lot of my background has been in storytelling. It has been in, you know, developing exhibits, and it has been in community relations. And so I'm looking to expand upon all of that as best as I can to try to become a true community museum that obviously welcomes thousands of national and international visitors every year also.
Certainly one of the reasons the museum said that they really liked you was because you know how to build up audiences and community engagement. So how do you plan to bring that to Park City's Main Street?
So we have done a fantastic job the past couple of years, especially the last year, in developing virtual and other type events online where we don't have to pack a room with a lot of people for programs and lectures. But I think since we have built up that infrastructure, I think we can continue with that, you know, in years beyond. We don't necessarily have to do everything with 100 people in a room. I think we've become more expert at online programs and virtual lectures, that sort of thing. So I think we will be able to increase those opportunities. But also I want to figure out how we can bring groups of our local citizens into the museum, either during open hours or during special after hours events. So I think that's an area where we can improve upon, you know, the way that we have done things in the past. And lastly, we have been very successful with the free days, the free public days that we have been offering once a month. So I certainly would like that to continue, and also perhaps to increase in number, because that would be, you know, that's perhaps the best way we can attract the local community into the museum, is by offering free public days.
Okay. And any marching orders from the board?
Not yet. We are at the tail end of our current strategic plan, and we are in the midst of developing a new strategic plan. It's helpful. That kind of coincides with my arrival. So we will be finalizing a strategic plan here in the coming months, which will help guide us over the next several years. But the board has been very supportive, and obviously I couldn't be more pleased with them that they are giving me every opportunity to succeed, and they are, you know, behind me 100%. So I couldn't be in a more fortunate situation and a more perfect museum.
Okay, well, we're lucky to have you. Morgan, anything else you'd like to mention to our listeners?
Please come visit us. Our website, parkcityhistory.org. You can find our hours of operation. You can find our events calendar with all of the upcoming hikes and programs and lectures that we have coming up. And so I just please encourage everyone to check out our website. Again, parkcityhistory.org.
Okay. Morgan Pierce, again, the newly named Executive Director for the Park City Museum and Historical Society. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Absolutely. You're welcome.